Well, welcome everybody to my talk on what's new in BizTalk 2016. So thanks for coming along. I feel a bit privileged to be talking about BizTalk Server at Ignite. I think this is probably the first time there's been a fully fledged BizTalk Server talk for probably 3 or 4 years. So I think there's a bit of a trend developing here. If you've noticed some of the talks overseas at some of the Microsoft conferences this year. There's been a Microsoft roadmap that's been shown by Jim Harrier at least two talks, which places BizTalk Server and Logic Apps at the heart of integration. So I was going to show that graphic today, but don't have enough time to do that. So what would suggest that you go and look at those talks. It really does spell out quite clearly that BizTalk Server is the choice for on-premise integration. So BizTalk Server has been my integration tool of choice for the last 12 years, and I wrote a book about it last year or so with a couple of colleagues from Datacom and also the original author. So I love BizTalk, and I've written a blog about BizTalk for many years at connectedpawns.wordpress.com. I think the sweet spot for BizTalk is for integration of line of business applications on-premise. And it's very good at doing that. Today I'm not going to talk about on-premise integration. I'm going to try and persuade you that you should be using BizTalk 2016 to also integrate your line of business applications on-premise with software as a service applications in the cloud. So I'm going to be focusing on that particularly. So what I would like you to take home from this talk is that you should be connecting your on-premise line of business applications with your SaaS applications in the cloud using BizTalk Server, so the so-called hybrid integrations. And I think we're going to be hearing a lot more about that in the next year or so, because I think a lot of people, they have assets in the cloud, and they want to, and they also have assets on the ground. And there's always a task to integrate the assets on the ground with those that are actually in the cloud. So I'm going to focus on three things. First of all, I'm going to just tell you a little bit about what's new in BizTalk 2016. And then I'm going to tell you why you should be upgrading to BizTalk 2016 and SQL Server 2016. Because if you can, this actually gives you quite a few new possibilities in your toolkit for integration. So I'm going to do this first by talking a little bit about how you achieve high availability using SQL 2016 availability groups for BizTalk Server. It's probably one of the two biggest improvements in this release. And then I'm going to give you a demo of showing you how it's done. The second part of the talk, I'm going to talk about there's a new connector in BizTalk 2016, the so-called Logic App Adapter. And this allows you to connect to a Logic App in Azure, and also from the Logic App down to BizTalk. So just very quickly, how did we get to where we are? BizTalk has been around for probably, this is the 10th release, and although people talk about integration changing a lot at the moment, I can remember very vividly when BizTalk 2004 came out, and that was really a groundbreaking release. It really, I think, knocked all the competition socks off when it first came out. And since that time, we've had incremental releases, trying to keep BizTalk Server up to date with the latest trends in integration. So for example, we had the introduction of WCF adapters in BizTalk 2006 R2, and in BizTalk 2013 we got the web HTTP adapters, which we can use to do integrations to RESTful services, which seem to be very ubiquitous these days. And 2016, it continues this this tradition of bringing in new features. So rest assured, if you have BizTalk Server in your organisation, you've actually made a very good investment, and it's still thought of as one of it's still thought of as the best message broker that is out there and is looked at by competitors and users in that way. So what's new in BizTalk Server 2016? So I've mentioned that with BizTalk Server 2016, we can use SQL Server 2016 always on support. Now, with traditional BizTalk Server, to get high availability, you needed to set up two SQL servers in an active cluster, and you needed to set up log shipping to achieve DR. And a lot of DBAs don't like doing that these days. They're just used to achieving this in other means. So the other problem is that it's not possible to set up SQL Server clustering in Azure until this release actually occurred, because that's not supported in Azure. So that has stopped a lot of people running production instances of BizTalk Server in Azure. So with BizTalk 2016, you can actually do that without having to set up log shipping or active-passive clustering. And I'll give a demonstration later on of exactly doing this. This release is, as always, it actually refreshes the BizTalk Server, so it's compatible with all the latest Microsoft software. And the second major improvement is the BizTalk Logic App adapters. And these adapters, what they can do is you can actually consume a so-called Logic App deployed in Azure. You can consume it in BizTalk. You can get data down to your BizTalk Server from in the cloud. And why this is so exciting is that you can access all the connectors that are there in Azure from your BizTalk Server. And that means that at the rate that Microsoft are going, where they're deploying new connectors once a week, it means that you can get those connectors immediately in BizTalk Server. You can actually access those connectors. So if there's a new application and it's got a Logic App connector, but you haven't got it in BizTalk, you don't have to wait for the next release of BizTalk. You can actually access that application easily. The second thing that you can do is you can use using Logic Apps in Azure, and you want to extend that Logic App to use some functionality that is not currently in Azure. So for example, you can actually call down to BizTalk to actually use that functionality. So one example I can think of, or I think John Fancy actually thought of it, is if you wanted to use a rules engine and you're working with a Logic App in Azure, then what you can do is that you can call down from the Logic App to BizTalk, and you can use the BizTalk rules engine. And and you can access that functionality. So very, very powerful, this adapter, and I'm going to give two demos on that later on in the talk. So even with these two major improvements, which I'm going to talk about in BizTalk 2016, there's been a whole slew of customer-driven improvements. There's been a new product team at Microsoft, or a change of guard, and many customer-driven improvements. I'm not going to go through them all. You can read all about them. Some of them I may actually show when we're doing the demo, and I'll point these out. But there's quite a few. Okay, so what we're going to do now is we're going to shift into I'm going to give a brief description of how I actually created my BizTalk 2016 with using SQL 2016 with high availability and with SQL always on. And then I'm going to go into a demo that's going to show you this. So I'll just switch over to my machine. Just bear with me. I just realised I've got one more bit to go through on the talk. So what I want to show here is how I actually built this highly available BizTalk server using SQL 2016. So what I did was I created two SQL servers and I placed them into a Windows failover cluster. The next step, so I actually used Windows Server 2016. In fact, I used the preview version of Windows Server 2016. And I installed on it SQL Server 2016 Developer Edition. So it's an error in the slide where I've actually said I used standard. So once I did that, setting up the Windows Server failover cluster between the two servers, I then created some SQL instances on both of the SQL servers. So the SQL server on this side is my primary SQL server, primary replica. The one on the far side is the secondary replica. So what you need to do if you want to set up HA with using BizTalk server, and you don't want to use the traditional SQL clustering, you need to create four SQL instances to contain the BizTalk databases. So I've shown on this slide just the first instance I created, which is the one that contained the SSO databases. And I ran the BizTalk configurator wizard to create the SSO DB on the primary replica. So the next step that I had to do was I had to create a availability group, which I call my SSO availability group, and I had to actually create it to use MSDTC. So one of the biggest improvements, or one of the changes in SQL 2016 from SQL 2014, is that it now supports MSDTC. It supports MSDTC. You can still build BizTalk Server 2016 with SQL 2014, but because SQL 2014 doesn't support MSDTC, you cannot use the availability groups. So once you've created that availability group, the next thing is to actually synchronize the SSO DB from the primary replica to the secondary replica. That can be done reasonably. That's a reasonably easy task. And then the important thing to realise once you've set this up, what's actually happening in the synchronisation is that the if a transaction occurs on your primary replica, first of all, it's actually committed on the secondary replica, and then it will be committed on your SSO replica. So this means that you must have a very, very fast wire between the primary replica and the secondary replica. And if you went to Warwick Rudd's talk yesterday about SQL availability on groups, the SQL 2016, you will have heard of the performance improvements that they've made to allow this to happen. So there's, I think it's possibly two orders of magnitude quicker in transferring logs and actually doing the synchronization. And for this to happen in BizTalk, that's really important. So you can imagine that you would have your primary replica in one data center. You might have your primary replica in one data center. You might have your secondary one in another data center. So once you've done this, the next thing you need to do is you need to create what's called a SQL listener, because what you want, if you've got a client, in this case BizTalk server, using those databases, you want it to seamlessly know what is the primary replica if you get a failover. So you don't want BizTalk server pointing at the primary replica, you want it pointing at the listener, so it swaps over if a failover occurs. And then the next thing you need to do that I had to do, I mentioned you've got to create four instances. The reason why you have to do this is because you cannot, with the MSDTC transactions, you cannot actually have two databases in the same instance that actually are taking part in a distributed transaction. So for that reason, you have to separate the BizTalk databases into separate instances. So I created a separate instance for the management BizTalk database, which of course is going to take part in distributed transactions with the SSO database. I also created one for the tracking database, and I created one for the runtime databases. So if you've got databases that don't take part in distributed transactions, then you can put them actually into the same instance. So that's exactly what I did. In the next step, I ran the BizTalk configurator, and that actually created all the databases inside the primary replica. I then set up the availability groups, which then synchronized to the secondary replica. And you'll notice in the runtime instance, I've gone and put you see the message box database and the rules engine database are in the same instance. I didn't actually install the BAM databases in the infrastructure I built up, but the BAM databases would also go into this runtime availability instance. And if you were using the ESP toolkit, I think the ESP exception database would go into the tracking tracking instance. So there's one last thing that you actually need to do once you've built all this up. What you need to do is you then have to copy your BizTalk SQL agent jobs and your users from the primary replica to the actual secondary replica. And to do that, you actually have to modify some of the SQL agent jobs, and I'll show you that in the demo that's going to come next. Right, so now we can go on with the demo. So what I'm showing here is a picture of the failover cluster, and you'll notice that we've got two SQL servers in the failover cluster. So we've got our primary and our secondary SQL server. And then if we drill down a little bit further and you look at the cluster resources, you'll actually see we've got one cluster, and we've actually got another thing in there called a file share witness. So this is reasonably important if you want to get automatic failover occurring. Because to get an automatic failover, if a failure occurs in one of your SQL servers, then there is what's called a vote taken in the SQL quorum that you set up. And so if you only have two SQL servers in that quorum, one's gone down, the other one then has to have a vote. There's only one vote out of two, that's only 50%, that's not a majority. So what happens in that situation, the failover cluster will just shut down to protect itself. So what you need to do is you need to have an odd number of members to the quorum. And what I chose to do, instead of actually creating another SQL server, so I could have created another secondary replica if I wanted to, but I chose to create what's called a file share witness. So I just used a file share to actually create my second vote. So something to actually think about. If we drill down a bit further, you'll see the roles that are showing up in the failover cluster. These are the availability groups that I created. You'll see I've created four in this case, one for the management, one for the runtime, one for SSO, and one for the runtime. And there you will see the two SQL servers that are part of my Windows failover cluster. So now we'll actually look at the SMS SQL Server Management Studio just to show you how these things are distributed. So what I'm showing here, and I'm showing something I didn't quite want to show straight away. So what I'm showing here is the SSO availability group. And if you actually look at the databases, you'll see that the SSO, the databases are always marked in a synchronized mode because you've got the two SQL servers being synchronized all the time. And I'm actually on my BTS SQL 1, which is my primary SQL replica. And the availability replicas, you'll see we've got the secondary one is on the second node. And we've just got one database in there. And we've got a listener set up on this default instance. You only need one listener set up to cope with all your instances. So this is the alias that you use to connect. Now in the left-hand pane, I've shown you a script which creates the SSO availability group. So with a lot, I would imagine that if you're setting up a lot of BizTalk servers, what you'll do is that you will script all these things. So the first time it would be probably take you quite a while to actually create your first BizTalk 2016 server. But once you've got the scripts, it would probably be reasonably quick. So one thing to point out is it took me a while to work this out. If you want to create an availability group with MSDTC, and that's the just up there, I've shown the actual statement, you have to do it through script. It's not possible to do it through the SQL Server Management Studio. And the other thing that you should be aware of is that if you're creating an availability group and you want to use MSDTC, you must create it with MSDTC enabled. You cannot actually create it after the event. So that's a gotcha. The other thing that I'll point out is that for your replicas or your instances, you need to set up a SQL endpoint before you run this script on both servers. I chose to use the same port on both my primary and secondary replicas just so that I didn't get confused. And you need to create a separate endpoint and different port for each of the instances that you create. So I'll just quickly show you the creation of the endpoint, which you run on both servers. And you'll notice this is the one that I chose for the management, the instance that holds the management database. You'll notice I've used port 7023 rather than 7022, which was for the SSO database. So as I say, it takes a little while the first time you do it to set all this thing up, but once you've done it once, then it becomes quite quick. Excuse me. So one thing I should just mention, one of the things that you need to do, because you've got the SQL endpoints on both SQL servers, you need to go in and make sure that you've actually created inbound rules to allow these ports access to both servers. That's one extra step that you actually need to do. And finally, I'll just switch to the other replica, which has gone somewhere. Right. So this is the secondary replica, and you'll notice that it looks almost identical. As you'd expect, except now it's actually showing up as the secondary availability group. Now let's go back to the primary replica. And I'll point out one thing that you must do. And that is that you have to, as I think I said, you have to copy all the SQL agent group jobs from the primary replica to the secondary replica, because they don't get transferred when you're doing the setting up the synchronization. And you do this with script, but you actually have to modify the BizTalk server SQL agent jobs, and I'll bring up one of the ones that'd be familiar to everybody, and that's the backup BizTalk the backup job for BizTalk server. And if you're familiar with this job, you'll probably realize that normally you run something like a statement like that, calling a particular stored procedure to do the backup job. Well, this isn't doing the backup job, it's just doing to start the backup job. And you'll notice that what the difference is you've enclosed this in a begin-end transaction, and you've actually put a conditional statement up the top. What this conditional statement is doing is actually saying, am I running on the primary replica or am I running on the secondary replica? If I'm running on the primary replica, then I actually run that step. If I'm running on the secondary replica, I don't run on that step. I don't run that step. So you probably can imagine you don't want your BizTalk SQL agent jobs running on both replicas. So this is a way that if you fail over, it will automatically pick up and start running your jobs on the actual second server. Right. So let's just shift back to the PowerPoint presentation, because time's going on. So I've shown you very quickly just how I set up high availability. I run out of time to actually show you it failing over, but certainly I can tell you some interesting stories about just how amazing it is when it actually does fail over. If you're doing couple of times, I've had automatic updates running on my two SQL servers, and I've seen it actually start on one SQL server, fail over to the second SQL server, and then fail back to the other one, and BizTalk servers just keep going. And all you notice in the event logs is for a couple of seconds, you'll notice the same sort of statements in there. Well, in fact, it's less than a second. You'll notice the same sort of errors that you see when a BizTalk server loses connection with its SQL server. So it's a matter of less than a second. So what we're going to do, what we've talked about, is we've talked about high availability with SQL Server 2016. Now I'm going to talk to you about, you're going to change track and talk about the other really amazing new feature in BizTalk Server, and that's the so-called Logic App Adapter. So first of all, I'm going to talk about how you would actually send a message from BizTalk server to a Logic App that's running in Azure. So all you have to do to set this up, to actually send a message from BizTalk, is to actually install the BizTalk Logic App Adapter onto your BizTalk server. That's all you have to do. It's a separate MSI package, and it adds this extra adapter on there. So if we now move quickly into the demo, back to my machine, and we'll bring up BizTalk Server for the first time in this talk. Oh, I forgot to actually show you the BizTalk Configurator. Just going back to the SQL 2016, I just wanted to show there that it's pointing at the BT16 listener, not at the actual name of the primary replica. So one of the steps I did once I'd actually configured all the databases on the primary replica, I then ran, there's a standard BizTalk VBS scripts, which then changed it to point at the BTS16 listener. So now let's bring up BizTalk Server. And what we're going to talk about is when you've installed the Logic App adapter, you end up with a new adapter inside BizTalk. And all you need to do is create a send port in your BizTalk server. All you need to do is choose the Logic App adapter, which appears in the drop-down of your adapter type. When you first do this, this URI here won't be populated. But once you've configured the adapter, it will be populated. So similarly, this endpoint here is not populated when you first go into that adapter. So what you need to do is you need to come into the configure screen at this point here. And I'll just point out, the first thing you need to do is sign into an Azure with an organizational account. It will not work with a personal account. So that's one thing to be aware of. As soon as you've done that, all your subscriptions, if you look at this drop down here, they will, I'll just hold that down a bit. I've got 4 subscriptions. They all appear, all your subscriptions that you've got in Azure under that account, you get access to. And similarly, you get a drop down of all your resource groups. I only have 1 resource group in that subscription. So that's good. And then we actually have, I've got 2 Logic Apps in that subscription, one called Holy Cow and one called New Zealand Post Ignite Logic App. Right. So very easy to set that up. And just for the purpose of the demo, so you understand what's going on, I've set up your archetypal file adapter inside from BizTalk Server, and all I'm going to do, I've called it, I'm going to pick up a JSON file, and I'm going to actually send it through to that send port, which is then going to send it through to a Logic App that's in Azure. So before I actually run the sample, I'll try and set the scene with and show you the Logic App that we're going to hit in Azure. So this is a Logic App that one of our customers is actually running at the moment. Well, it's actually not the actual one they're running, but it is what's actually out there in the wild. Very, very simple. So New Zealand Post, they expose a series of RESTful APIs, and one of them that we wanted to use was one that actually gives parcel notifications. So what you do is you register that you want to get notifications on parcels that you've sent, and then what New Zealand Post will do is they will actually send you notifications of those messages arriving. But the one gotcha is that they'll only send that notification once and once only. If you're not there, you miss out on it. So what we decided to use a service bus as a point of persistence. So instead of actually wiring up to send to BizTalk directly, because BizTalk might be down occasionally, we decided we'd actually set this up in Azure so it was always there. And then at our leisure, we would pick the messages up off the service bus. So what's happening is what we're going to do, instead of having New Zealand Post posting the message to this HTTP request in the Azure Logic App, we're going to actually have BizTalk Server actually posting to that, um, to to that, we're going to mimic the New Zealand Post API, and it's going to dump it down into the service bus. So let's just get out of there, and let's go back to our BizTalk server and do the normal thing we do in BizTalk, and that's drop some files in. So I'm going to take a copy of this hello.json. I'm going to drop it into my pickup folder, and this is going to be picked up. It's picked up from the file adapter. It's going to go to the Logic App send adapter, which is then going to send it on to Azure. It's going to go through the Logic App, place that message on the service bus. So if we go back and we do a refresh, and 215, right, thanks. I was just having heart failures there, Wagner. So as you can see, it's actually gone to the service bus, it's gone through the request, it's gone and sitting there on the service bus. The one thing I didn't actually tell you is that we actually have something else that's actually subscribing to that service bus, taking the messages off it. And I'm going to actually extend on this very simple Logic App in the next demo. And I'll just show you what we're doing in BizTalk so you've got some understanding. So we've got a application here, and what we're actually doing is and this is what's actually operating in the current system, we actually have a SB messaging adapter, which is actually pulling the messages off that service bus queue and then doing stuff with it. In my example, I just actually write it to the file system. I'm not going to talk about the SB messaging adapter because that's been around for a long time. But what I'm going to do in the next part of the demo, I'm going to show how you can actually replace that SB messaging adapter with a Logic App adapter. So let's just to prove to you that it's all worked. We'll go to my drop-off folder, and in the JSON response, you'll actually see there's a new parcel notification. It isn't actually a parcel notification. If it loads, it'll actually say "Hello from BizTalk Server 2016." Right. So we're running fairly close to time. I'm just going to switch back to the final demo. So what we've talked about sending from BizTalk Server to a Logic App. What we actually now want to do is we want BizTalk Server to actually receive a message from a Logic App. And to set this up, you've got a few more steps to do. First thing you have to do is you have to set up a IIS endpoint on your BizTalk Server, which actually will allow the Logic App to actually browse the BizTalk management database so that you can actually see the schemas that are there in your BizTalk server and you can actually see the receive locations. The second thing you need to do is you need to install a gateway, an on-premise gateway on your BizTalk server. And just a little tip here, make sure that you actually install this gateway with an account that doesn't actually have an Azure subscription. Because if it does have an Azure subscription, you will not be prompted to actually enter your Azure subscription and your user credentials. It'll just actually automatically flip through that stage. Once you've done that, you can then go to Azure and the data gateway will then be enlivened within Azure. So down in the installation name, you will be able to set up what's called an on-premise data gateway. And then you'll use this later on in Azure. Finally, you set up your Logic App. So we'll switch now very quickly back to my main screen, and I'm going to show you how to set up this Logic App. So here was the receive port that we were using. That was an SB messaging adapter. What we're going to do, we're going to change it to be a Logic App adapter. So now we're going to actually have the Logic App calling BizTalk directly. So what we need to do is just configure the address, and I need to change the security to none here. This is the way that I've set it up. There's one last thing I need to copy. Right. So once we've done that and restart that port, we then need to go to IIS. You notice that that's the management endpoint that I showed you before that allows you to browse to the artifacts from logic apps that are on your BizTalk server. And what we need to do is we need to create another application. And we need to call it the same as as what we configured on the BizTalk server. And we need to choose the same app pool account that we would have used to set up our management of BizTalk server. And then we need to navigate to the physical path that's of the logic app adapter that's been actually installed on the BizTalk server. So let's actually have a look down here. Right, there's a folder called Logic App Adapter, and we need to grab the BizTalk WCF service. You'll notice there's another folder there called the BizTalk Management Service, which is what you would have had to choose to set up your management endpoint. Now we're done. So now all we need to do is go back to the Logic App Adapter, and we need to actually add the BizTalk adapter to our Logic App. So all we're going to do is I'm going to actually add another action. I'm going to search for BizTalk. And you'll see there's actually three possibilities. I'll just quickly show you we're not going to use this, the XML loading one, but I'll show you the Logic App going off and searching for the, there you go. You can see that it's pulled back all my schemas that are inside BizTalk, and I could select those to actually use. So quite nice, I think, that. But I'm not going to use that. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to add an action to send a message. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to browse, and hopefully my new receive location will show up. It's going to fail this time. So it'll fail, and then the next time it will actually populate. Sometimes it does take a little... Oops, there we go. So let's do it again. Oops. This time it will bring back the receive location. Just bear with me. It's not behaving for some reason. We'll try one more time, and then I'll just revert to a video that actually shows you the final bit. Right. Okay. What should happen is it should populate with all the receive locations. What I can do, instead of actually picking the receive location, what I can do is what we can do is we can manually put in the public address. And last thing I must do is actually add some just add my message body in there. I just point out the connection, This is where you can create your connection to your data gateway. I'm not going to do that. Just stick with the same one. So once you've done that, it's then just a matter of, so I've actually just put in the connection directly. I'll save my Logic app. And now we'll just, the time's just running out. We'll just go back to our, and now we'll drop another message in and just hope that it works. So this time I'll use a real example of a New Zealand Post parcel notification. And if we put it in here, and fingers crossed, it actually has worked. So it's running. It looks like it actually hasn't worked. Yep. Okay. Not too sure what's happened there. I think we'll just move on. And what I'll do is I'll very quickly just run up a video of okay. I think we might just might stop there. So hopefully I've shown you the new features of BizTalk BizTalk Server 2016 and persuaded you that you can use BizTalk Server 2016 to connect your line of business applications to your SaaS applications in the cloud. So thank you, and just one last thing, can you please remember to fill out your evaluation sheets. Thank you.